Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narratries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fascism. What it is and how to fight it presents Leon Trotsky's core political analysis of fascism as an extreme reactionary movement that emerges amid deep social crisis and bitter class conflict, or written from the standpoint of a revolutionary Marxist observing the upheavals of interwar Europe. The book aims to clarify what distinguishes fascism from ordinary authoritarian rule, and why it proves so dangerous in countries like Italy and Germany. Trotsky emphasizes that fascism is not simply a set of harsh policies, but a mass phenomenon that mobilizes sections of the middle class and desperate layers of society, then uses that mobilization to smash labor organizations and democratic institutions. Just as importantly, he treats anti-fascism as a strategic problem, not a moral slogan, arguing that ineffective tactics can accelerate defeat. Readers encounter a framework focused on forces, alliances, timing, and organization, along with urgent warnings about division within the workers' movement. The result is a compact, action-oriented guide to understanding fascist dynamics and building resistance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, fascism as a mass movement. Not just a dictatorship, a central theme is that fascism cannot be understood only as a repressive government or a leader's personality. Trotsky treats it as a mass movement that grows when society is shaken by economic breakdown, political paralysis, and the fear of downward mobility. In this view, fascism draws energy from ruined small business owners, anxious professionals, and declassed layers who feel abandoned by existing parties. These groups can be organized into street forces and paramilitary formations that bring violence into daily politics and prepare the ground for a new kind of rule. The point is analytical and practical. If fascism is mass-based, it must be confronted not merely through parliamentary maneuvers, court appeals, or abstract denunciations, but by contesting its social base and blocking its capacity to organize. Trotsky also distinguishes fascism from conventional conservative or military authoritarian regimes. Fascism aims to destroy independent workers' institutions such as unions, parties, cooperatives, and presses, replacing pluralism with a regimented society. Understanding this difference helps readers identify early warning signs, escalating street intimidation, coordinated propaganda, and attempts to isolate workers' organizations from broader society. The topic frames fascism as a process with stages, where prevention depends on timely and organized resistance. Secondly, crisis capital and the role of the middle layers. Trotsky links the rise of fascism to severe capitalist crisis and the inability of traditional ruling mechanisms to stabilize society. When profits and legitimacy collapse, sections of big business may seek extraordinary solutions, while mainstream parties fail to offer credible relief. The book's analysis emphasizes the contradictory position of the middle strata. These layers can be politically volatile because they are squeezed between concentrated capital and organized labor, and they experience crisis as a personal catastrophe debt, business failure, status loss, and fear of proletarianization. Fascist movements exploit this anxiety by offering simplified explanations, scapegoats, and a promise of national revival, while channeling resentment away from the real centers of economic power. Trotsky's framework highlights how fascism can present itself as anti-elite while ultimately serving the most entrenched interests by breaking the power of labor and stabilizing property relations. For readers, this topic provides a method for tracking alliances and funding, not just rhetoric. It encourages attention to who benefits when unions are broken, when opposition media are silenced, and when civil liberties are curtailed. It also stresses that workers' movements must not treat the middle layers as hopeless enemies. Winning neutral groups away from fascist influence, or at least preventing their mobilization behind reaction, becomes a decisive battlefield in the struggle. Thirdly, why the workers' movement can lose, even with large numbers. Another major topic is Trotsky's insistence that numerical strength alone does not guarantee victory. Even where workers' organizations are large, defeat can occur if leadership misreads the moment, underestimates the threat, or substitutes slogans for strategy. Trotsky critiques patterns such as complacency in the face of escalating violence, reliance on legal protections that are already being undermined, and the tendency to treat fascism as just another electoral competitor. He also analyzes how fragmentation and mutual hostility among left and labor organizations can create an opening for fascists to advance, especially when workers are demoralized by unemployment and repeated political setbacks. The book highlights practical consequences of disunity competing demonstrations, refusal to coordinate defensive meetings and press, and the inability to offer a credible path to power or even survival. Trotsky's argument is that fascism aims first to break the organized capacity of workers to act collectively, so the defense of that capacity is not secondary. This topic gives readers a lens for evaluating political tactics, whether they build confidence, broaden alliances, and protect organizational infrastructure, or whether they isolate militants and leave ordinary supporters exposed.
Ah.
The focus is on preparedness, discipline, and timing, showing how delays and sectarianism can turn a dangerous movement into an unstoppable force. Fourthly, United Front strategy and practical anti-fascist defense. Trotsky is widely associated with the idea that defeating fascism requires a united front of workers' organizations, even when they disagree on broader political programs. In this approach, the immediate goal is to stop fascist advances and defend the basic means of working-class organization, while continuing open debate about long-term strategy. The United Front is not presented as a vague call for unity, but as a concrete method: joint defensive meetings, coordinated responses to attacks, common demands that can mobilize broad layers, and shared actions that demonstrate strength in the streets and workplaces. Trotsky's emphasis is pragmatic. He argues that fascists thrive when they can pick off opponents separately, intimidate communities, and project inevitability. Coordinated resistance interrupts that momentum and can win over hesitant supporters by proving that fascists can be stopped. This topic also shows the difference between passive coalition politics and active mass self-defense. It is less about elite agreements and more about building confidence and structures at the base. Readers can apply the logic to modern contexts by thinking in terms of coalition building around specific defensive objectives, rapid response networks, and solidarity across unions, community groups, and political organizations. The larger point is that anti-fascism must be organized, visible, and capable of protecting people, not limited to symbolic condemnation. Lastly, from warning to action, recognizing stages and choosing tactics, the book can be read as a manual for diagnosing the state of the threat and matching tactics to reality. Trotsky stresses that fascism develops through identifiable phases: early agitation and recruitment, growing street power, penetration of institutions, and the final push to seize or monopolize state power. At each phase, errors of perception can be fatal. Treating fascism as fringe when it is consolidating, or treating it as already all-powerful when it can still be blocked, both lead to paralysis. Trotsky's approach encourages readers to watch for shifts in confidence, alliances, and the willingness of authorities to tolerate fascist violence. He also underscores the importance of a political alternative that addresses material suffering. If anti-fascist forces offer only defense without hope, fear and resentment can still be captured by reactionary demagogues. This topic integrates analysis and organizing, building a program that speaks to jobs, dignity, and security, maintaining democratic practices inside movements and preparing for confrontations without adventurism. The emphasis on timing and proportionality is notable. Trotsky argues that decisive moments arise when wavering layers can be won and when unified action can change the balance. The reader comes away with a framework for converting alarm into organized preparedness, and for judging tactics by whether they reduce fascist capacity and expand the social majority against it. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a political and historical framework for understanding fascism beyond slogans, activists, students of modern history, labor organizers, and anyone concerned with democratic backsliding can benefit, especially if they want to think in terms of social forces, organization, and strategy rather than only personalities and media cycles. The book can improve a reader's life by sharpening judgment in moments of polarization. It offers tools to recognize early patterns of reaction, to evaluate whether a movement is building real power, and to avoid the complacency or fatalism that often accompanies fast-moving crises. It also emphasizes cooperation and practical defense, which can inspire more effective participation in civic life and community protection. Compared with many similar books that focus mainly on ideology or biography, Trotsky's analysis stands out for its tactical clarity and its emphasis on how fascism advances through breaking collective institutions. It is less a catalog of horrors and more a guide to prevention and resistance. Readers looking for a compact, hard-edged account of what fascism is, why it recruits mass support, and how organized forces can stop it will find it a worthwhile purchase, particularly as a complement to broader historical studies. If you would like to support Leon Trotsky, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.